Hello again, and welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show. Yay! All right, we're back. Radio Free HPC. I'm here with Dan Olds and Henry Newman. Today's topic, big news. Lenovo has dropped the other shoe and has purchased, apparently, or is in the process of purchasing, the x86 business from IBM.
It's also, Rich, it's not just dropping another shoe. They've jumped wholeheartedly into the pool. Looks to me, from what I'm seeing, they're buying all of it, not just the low end. It's all the x86 business,
so
unless I missed something.
So back in May, it was looking like that was the deal. Is that the case? Or because they basically, it sounded like negotiations broke off at that point.
Back in May, the deal, as near as I could tell, and not a lot surfaced, but they were talking about the low end. Maybe.
And they were talking about the low end, and they were talking about $6 billion is what the rumors that I read in the press.
That's
not that I know anything.
I don't either. But
so
it was
now they bought the whole enchilada for a lot less money?
Well,
2.6 is what they're saying.
$2 billion and change in cash, but an undisclosed amount of stock, which could be a lot of stock, and that could be a pretty good deal.
So here's the question I had earlier today, talking to some other analyst friends of ours. You know, when I think of IBM, I think of, they're soup to nuts, right? You can buy it all from them. If I want to set up a cloud, you know, they'll build it, they'll run it. What hardware is going to run inside there now? Do they go OEM it from HP?
Well, they're going to OEM it from Lenovo, at least in the early, well, at least for the midterm.
And that's not going to work.
Supplier.
That's not going to work well for IBM Federal.
That's a really interesting topic. But yeah. let's back away from that for just a second and get sort of the outlines of this. From what I can tell, IBM is selling everything x86 related, including things like the PureFlex for x86, selling all of that to Lenovo. The people will go over as well, but IBM will have an agreement with Lenovo to buy those systems and OEM them for their own projects.
And does it include the X6, the stuff they announced last week that has the flash in the memory DIMM slots?
Looks to me like it does.
Yeah.
Next scale stuff, it includes iDataPlex, Blade Center, all that stuff.
Well, but Dan, how, for example, they have embedded software products of GPFS embedded in systems. Is IBM going to give Lenovo specifications? Build this that looks like this, and we can use it. And what about the storage that goes
Lenovo
with all this?
Lenovo is going to license OEM and resell IBM's storage, StoreWiz, and tape library technologies. They're also going to do the same thing again: OEM and license GPFS, Smart Cloud, and other stuff. Including, I would imagine, IBM System Director for x86 and probably some of the platform stuff too.
So, does IBM come the next Accenture with software?
Well, they're still going to have power, and they're going to be pushing the horse they're going to have to ride for hardware is going to be Linux on power. They must have a lot of confidence in that. They still have frames, mainframes, but power is going to be the horse that they have to ride everywhere. And the problem is, and Rich, I think you were starting to go down this chain with IBM being the one-stop shop, soup to nuts, is that when you give up an entire huge hardware platform, you start to look a lot more like an Accenture with software, as opposed to being the only company in the IT business that can do everything from business consulting and come up with your business solution and then sell you the technology that comes along underneath to enable it. IBM's not that animal if they don't have x86.
Yeah, and boy, you know, there's a whole x86 ecosystem now that they have to go buck in every sale. Ouch.
Well, that, or they have to be competitive enough with Lenovo under them to be able to do it profitably.
How and Dan, that's the other point is they're going to have to, you know, Lenovo's going to make profit. Now IBM's going to make profit to resell. Where's the money?
Where's the
in
margin
this?
Come from?
Yeah, where's the margin coming from? Is Lenovo going to be able to really develop it, these systems more quickly and at lower, significantly lower than IBM? What are your thoughts?
I think they will. I look at the ThinkPad operation as sort of the case study of this. I was a big fan of ThinkPads back when IBM had them, and actually I had to use them. Thought they were great, but when I started my own little business here and was looking to buy them, holy crap, I'm not going to spend that kind of money for a laptop. What am I doing, buying a car here? But just a year or two after Lenovo took them over, the ThinkPads and the entire Lenovo line got better. Better technology, faster technology. In other words, technology advances put into the product faster. And the prices were and are competitive with anything that HP, Dell, anybody else is putting out.
So what you just said, Dan, if I can paraphrase it, is HP and Dell are losers and Intel's a winner in this?
Intel's a winner. HP and Dell are threatened. Anybody else, by the way, is threatened, I think.
Well, I think there's some huge potential winners here in our space, HPC.
Yeah.
And the first one is Cray.
Yes.
Secondly, you know, think pure play HPC. So, you know, Cray, SGI.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Definitely Penguin. Okay. Look, you know, we can get into the top 500 in a bit here, but this opens the door. And for bids.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I think.
There's a lot of business now. And let's say, aside from, which we're going to talk about next, I'll bet, but aside from the legalities and regulations about buying from a non-U.S. company for U.S. HPC, but like Henry was saying, there's a profit margin that they're adding into their systems now, their x86 systems. Lenovo's profit margin, IBM's profit margin on these scale-out x86 projects. I don't know that IBM is going to be able to bid competitively on those kinds of deals. So that could take them off the table in a lot of them, leaving more spoils for the Krays, for the SGIs, and for the Penguins. Cray's APRO unit, I think, comes out smelling like a rose in this.
Oh, definitely. Definitely the CS line.
It's going to open things up because I don't think IBM is going to be able to be competitive there. I don't think they're going to want to be.
Well, and even if they are, maybe in the commercial side, but in the U.S. government side, you know, Lenovo's going to have, as with any foreign hardware vendor, maybe they're going to have to set up a U.S. A subsidiary with the U.S. Board of Directors, like Lenovo Federal or something like that. But that takes a long time.
Well,
it's not an easy process.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and both you guys probably are deeper in this than I am, but the word on the street from you guys and from others is that the U.S. government and government affiliates aren't going to buy HPC systems if it's Lenovo. What if it's IBM going in with Lenovo gear underneath, rebadged Lenovo gear?
I would think it doesn't matter.
Why would it not matter?
Because I believe, my guess is, that rebadged Lenovo gear, the underlying hardware was made overseas. It doesn't matter. That's my guess.
But the underlying motherboards and stuff were made overseas anyway.
I'm just saying,
I'm just wondering.
Historically, it's been that hasn't mattered.
Okay. Is that by regulation or is that by...
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure there's a political element to it, as well, right? I mean, this is a pride thing, and especially top 500, right?
Yeah.
And the U.S. wants to lead in this space, and we spend a lot of effort to stay there, and it leapfrogs at China and other places, but it's. For the mission of places like the DOE, it's important to what they're doing as well. So I don't want to dismiss that as just chest beating. But if the DOE could get a machine from Lenovo that was significantly a better at doing what they need to do, maybe that would change things. But this is commodity hardware, so I just don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see it either, Dan.
It's, and again, I don't know that you could do it, that they could do it economically.
Yeah. Well, Lenovo, I would think, could build a system for less money than just about anybody else. I would think because of their China, right? They know how to.
Yeah, but if they have to sell through IBM, how is it less money?
Well, yeah, there's that. But on the other hand, x86 at IBM has usually been kind of a poor stepchild.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just didn't receive the investment that the other lines did. I mean, IBM has tried to stomp this out, but in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a crime family, right?
Mm.
And that they're all fighting for their own cut. And if you're highly profitable, you're going to get more investment. x86 was never highly profitable. A lot of volume, at least relative to the others. Big numbers in terms of revenue, but in terms of profits to the bottom line, it's just not that kind of market.
But wait, Dan. Mm-hmm. My question to you and to Rich, they didn't have profits on the hardware, but how much money did they make on services?
Yep, exactly.
Which is a different spreadsheet.
Absolutely.
That rolls it up to.
Yep. And how much of that high margin software was enabled by them making a hardware sale?
Don't know.
A lot of, I mean, you get, for most cases, the software leads the sale. The hardware comes in later, but not every case. And having that relationship with hardware, being the hardware vendor of choice, gives you an entree to push other products. And this is really a short-sighted move.
Well, along those lines, what is the fortunes of GPFS as a result of this?
Better.
Do you think? Better?
I think.
Henry?
Depends on what market space.
I'm going to say
and I don't think it is better, Dan, because now you don't have an integrated solution with one finger to point and one person to fix it. If Lenovo's going off and selling GPFS, they got to get IBM support. And, you know, is it hardware? Is it software? Is it what?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think this is not good tidings for GPFS.
I think it's better because you have another player out there who's going to be concentrating on just pushing pushing mid-range and high-end x86 servers, and they're going to see GPFS as a competitive differentiator, and they're going to focus and market around it.
So what about platform? Same question. Good for platform, bad?
Same logic, good for platform.
I think I'm going to use the same logic to say bad.
But the thing is that, like anything else, they're going to be able to go back to IBM for support. For instance, on a ThinkPad, the model is the few times I've had to call for support, I talked to someone in Raleigh. In fact, the voicemail, at least as of 6 months ago, still said IBM/Lenovo help support. It's the same folks. And they're working on the same campus.
In that case, they bought the IBM brand. And I remember seeing that IBM all over these laptops and PCs.
Been gone for quite a while. IBM as a word has been gone from them for quite a while.
Yeah, but they have the rights. Or at least they did, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that'll be the case here.
I think it was a transition thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of support for it, I don't think that's going to be a huge issue. Could be wrong, but I don't think it will be.
Okay. So what about top 500? Dan, I pointed to your May 2nd piece from last year.
Yeah.
That looked at when that deal would look like it was going to happen, what it might mean for the HPC market, and specifically the top 500.
And well, to top 500 in terms of IBM's piece of the top 500.
Which is a big piece, by the way.
It is. The biggest by far in terms of of performance, but is measured by system footprints, slightly ahead of HP. They've been trading back and forth, and these numbers are from 2012, and it's changed since then.
Yep.
But and I'm going to rerun this analysis for an article I'm working on now. But from a footprint standpoint, about a third of IBM systems on the top 500 are just vanilla x86.
So here's the question, Dan and Rich.
Yeah.
Is Lenovo now sell them through the Lenovo Salesforce? Is IBM still selling that stuff through IBM Salesforce? Or and do all those federal sales guys go to Lenovo and all the commercial? Or where are they going?
Boy, up in the air. I think some will go to Lenovo at least. 7,000 people.
7,000? Okay.
Yeah, I would bet it's going to be in the thousands. And I remember seeing a number like 7,500 people. And that's just
okay.
A really, really shaky, broad estimate, I think, from Bloomberg or somebody like that. But it would be in the thousands.
Okay, so maybe
it's got to be thousands.
Yeah. So maybe I got to ask Jack Dungara this question. But when the next top 500 comes out, do they relabel all those IBM systems as Lenovo? And does a Chinese company suddenly become the biggest vendor in the top 500?
They won't. I don't think they'd relabel the ones that have been sold, just like how they didn't relabel. I don't think they relabeled the old Sun systems as Oracle. New systems, yes. And actually, okay. If looking at my chart, non-x86 stuff on the top 500 in terms of footprints in the end of 2012 was 25% of all the systems IBM had on the chart. In other words, 75% of their footprints in the top 500 are not systems that can be renewed with the same system by IBM anymore.
Well, and more importantly, Dan, there are a couple things that come to mind. One, what happens to the current systems that are being serviced by IBM that are, you know, at government agencies?
Mm-hmm.
Two, Power 7 and Power 7 Plus. I don't think they're really selling them in HPC anymore, are they?
Sure,
they've got a.
They want to.
They've got a slice, and this.
But are they selling them? They have.
Are they
a slice.
Selling? Okay, they're pushing them. Are they selling? I mean, you know, power on the top 500, less than 10%.
And when
of IBM's it, of right. IBM systems.
And how are there any new ones in 2013?
Not sure. I have to take a look. I don't think so.
Okay, so
if they are, it's onesie twosie. It's not a big, huge deal. And you know, one of the areas that they're going to end up going after with their power, with their Linux on power systems, is HPC. But I don't think they have a lot of traction yet.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they've got this Open Power Consortium, which we shouldn't forget to mention. Right?
Yeah,
this is. But, you know, that's lined up with Mellanox and NVIDIA. But at least from the initial stuff I was reading, Dan, that looks like low-power devices and handsets or something. Am I wrong there? Are there
no, I,
bigger
I think
systems?
It's systems. It's
it is systems.
Yeah, it has to be. That's why Mellanox is on board and why NVIDIA is on board. It's in my mind, it's as a counter to Intel getting too strong.
Okay.
Well, it's also because Mellanox has nowhere to go with, and neither does NVIDIA, since Intel effectively controls PCI.
If Intel were to exercise that control to screw them over, yes, they would have nowhere to go.
Correct. But so it's defensive.
Yeah, it's defensive. But IBM now needs that to be offensive because they've essentially, in my mind at least, put all of their hardware chips on power, so to speak.
And Dan, you go to all these IBM analyst things. Are we expecting a next generation of power soon? What, Power 9 or what?
Eight.
Power 8
will be next, and I believe that's out this year. I'm not positive exactly when.
Okay.
But and you know, it's going to be an advance, and it's going to be more performant than x86 than what Intel has now.
And so was Power 7.
Yeah.
And so was Power 6.
And Power 7 is still ahead in some ways.
Oh, it's totally ahead in every way.
Not every way. Not every way.
Talking per core or
memory bandwidth? Memory bandwidth is
about double.
Okay.
Yeah.
All at least right. Last time I looked, and that's a big deal. Floating point's better. They've got faster, higher frequencies. IBM does, but it's not a slam dunk like it was when it first came out.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it's ecosystems that sell chips, not chip speeds. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, and does you know, we saw IBM get cold feet on the Blue Waters with the power architecture because it sounded like they just couldn't make any money on building that particular system. What would make Power 8 fare any better?
Because IBM doesn't have a choice. I mean, that's the thing. And you know, it could be depending on what they know within IBM.
Yeah.
That they figure that this is good enough technology that we can go all in on it, and it will win if we have everything behind the arrow and if we're not distracted with these other lines.
Is Power 8, is it totally monolithic like that Blue Waters thing with needs water cooling and, you know, giant modules, or can it be more like an x86 pizza box?
More like an x86 pizza box.
Okay.
They've always had that.
Yeah. All right.
And it's... in fact, you know, they talked about Power 8 at Hot Chips.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there, and I didn't get into it. And I'm looking to what they have up on it. It's, I believe it's 16 cores. No, excuse me, 12 cores.
Yeah.
Maximum clock at 4 gigahertz. A lot of cache, L1, L2, and L3 cache.
Okay.
It's a very solid, very performant chip.
But
it's
Dan,
the ecosystem that's going to make the difference.
Who needs, what percentage of the community, other than HPC, the general chip community, needs that much performance?
I would say that the folks that are going to be, that are doing and are going to be doing what we're calling big data, predictive analytics, all that kind of stuff. You can do it with more x86 systems, or as IBM will try to prove, you can do it with a lot fewer and less expensive Linux on Power systems. And by the way, when we start looking at big data type solutions, this is part of their strategy for buying all of those software companies, that now they're going to be able to offer a full solution on their own hardware in an appliance like form factor. What do you care what chip is underneath, yeah, as long as you're running Linux?
All right. So this aligns with their goal. I think they've put a stake in the ground. I think they want to be $15 billion of big data analytics revenue by next year or something. They're going to have to do that now with software and power,
yep,
only.
Well, I mean, they would argue that they're still going to be able to sell x86. They're just going to be OEMing it from Lenovo. And in enterprise, mm-hmm, I think that's true. It's going to give them another level of margin that they're going to have to take account of.
Yep.
But it still might be cheaper than having all those thousands of people in the development organization that they have now. So they could be in roughly the same economic position with Lenovo as an OEM versus building their own gear. And I don't think enterprise is going to be as sensitive as to where the guts of it come from, particularly if there's a big IBM badge over the top of the whole thing. It's the software and the business case and the business consulting that IBM is doing that will sell those deals.
Okay. So just speculation, what's going on over at Intel today? Are they having beers and partying, or are they deep in strategic meetings trying to figure out what this means to them?
I think in some ways with Intel, they're moderately happy, but it's really kind of rearranging the chairs at a dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to jack up x86 sales to beat hell. It's not going to kill. It doesn't mean that, you know, competing architectures like Power are dead. IBM's going to double down on them, but, you know, moderate smiles, but not a celebration.
Yeah.
Henry?
I kind of think that, you know, there was, I kind of think they're probably pretty happy about it. I mean, IBM is now not going to be wanting to get advanced information on Intel processors and things like that. That all goes to Lenovo.
Yeah.
And you know, they can do what they want, and IBM will never know about it. They'll just, you know, they'll know about it at the same time others will.
Of course, that information won't go back the other way either, because the Intel IBM contacts will be severed, so they won't be able to unofficially find out what's going on with power.
Correct. But I don't think they care. I don't think Intel sees power as a threat. Power is not a threat.
Yeah.
Except in a niche market.
I would agree.
But I actually think Mark Seeger is probably popping corks.
Yeah.
And maybe Bob Seeger too. Not sure why, but I believe he just celebrated a birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no more against the wind then.
Oh, man, that was horrible.
I know. I was trying to come up with another Bob Seger song, but it hurt my head to think of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to recover from that one.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting, and times for your traditional HPC vendors, the Krays, the SGIs, and everybody else.
Yeah, I got to think, we've said this before, but Cray really has an opportunity here to make some hay, and like starting today, and you can bet they'll be on it.
I think what IBM is giving up here in the general sense long term is a degree of account control and wallet share.
Mm.
There's a reason why Sun servers were kept alive at Oracle. There's a reason why Cisco went into enterprise servers. And it's not because servers have high profit margins or they have higher profit margins. In my mind, it's because it gives you something else to sell and you get a greater wallet share of that data center, albeit not at as high a profit margin, but it's a greater wallet share. And your typical MBA reasoning is that you take a look at your product portfolio and you want to invest in and do more of the products that have the high margins, right? Mm-hmm. And get rid of the products that have the low margins because you can't do everything. Problem is that there's a limited appetite for stuff like that. For instance, if we're talking about a wheel manufacturer, and if somehow they figured in this synthetic case that their very highest profit margin isn't on wheels, but it's on lug nuts. Well, then we should just be doing custom lug nuts.
This sounds like the steel. This is the steel industry all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we only want to make the specialty steel because there's more margin.
Mm-hmm.
Dan,
but there's a limited appetite.
It's kind of weird that I agree with you this week.
There's a limited appetite. If your software, it's like saying that. I mean, IBM, their highest margin product of all is probably the 390 software stack. So why not concentrate entirely on that? Well, they're smart enough to realize that there's very limited appetite.
Yeah.
And you've gotten as much into that as you possibly can.
Dan, you're absolutely right, in my opinion.
So was IBM, was their hand forced by some forces here that was inevitable?
I think their hand was forced by the commitment to get a certain amount of shareholder value by a certain year. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's what forced their hand.
Okay.
Yep.
And they're managing to that. It's tough, but I think that IBM, for the investor, is a pretty good place to be, but as an employee, pretty rough place to be.
Well, what are the fortunes of Lenovo? I think we talked a little bit in the enterprise, the cloud, I would say very bright. I think they're sharp people who know how to build things, and
they're making money on PCs.
Yeah, and who else is doing that?
Laptops and stuff.
Yeah, nobody else is making money there.
Yeah, and they're actually making money on PCs and laptops, being a mid-range, high-end vendor of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean,
impressive.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
And I would expect that they're going to try and do exactly the same thing in servers, and I don't know if I'd bet against them.
Well, they're going to be up against, Acer, and I'm trying to think of that Chinese company that's really big.
Inspur.
Yeah. And plus, you know, Dell and HP aren't going to lay down for this either.
Well, Fujitsu.
Yeah.
Siemens. Everybody worldwide. I mean, this takes them worldwide. They're going to get that. I think they're going to get a big chunk of that x86 sales force worldwide for IBM sales and support. Mm-hmm. Those people will be sliding over.
Yeah.
So they now have distribution capability and service capability everywhere that IBM was. They're going to get those business partners.
Yeah.
And IBM sells through X. I would imagine they push 80% plus of their sales through a business partner. So those are relationships that Lenovo is going to have instantly with this deal when it goes through.
Oh, Dan, I think I was reading that there were some other suitors here, at least in the recent.
I saw that.
You think there's anything behind that? You think Dell was actually, down to the wire with this?
I would doubt it.
I think they would have loved it, but it would have been hard to finance.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I doubt it.
They don't have any stock to play with.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have to come in with cold, hard cash.
Yeah, and they
Carl Icahn would have to come in or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Who was the other one, Rich? It was Dell and Fujitsu, I thought I saw. Something,
yeah, I think that was it.
And Fujitsu had the cash, but it would have taken a lot of it. HP wouldn't have bought them. There would have probably been some antitrust problems there, too.
Yeah.
Can't think of any other U.S. player that would have bought them. I don't know. Oracle?
Could it be?
They might have looked.
They might have looked.
Well, they had no interest in Sun's pizza boxes. It's the first thing they killed.
Yeah, that's true. So, they don't want to be on the low end.
Yeah.
But and IBM's selling all of it though, the high end.
Well, but this goes back to the model that IBM came up with in the first place, where they can sell from we can give you your laptops, we can give you your servers, it's all integrated, management frameworks, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The key here is going to be, I think, is to be able to put it together with software, and time will tell who is successful with this, Lenovo or IBM, because I don't see both of them being successful, only one.
Well, I can think of 7,000. You said 7,000 people coming over, Dan, something like that.
I think it's going to be more.
I think they may be having a party because they just realized they don't have to use Lotus Notes anymore.
I think they're going to be. They're going to right now today. They're scared and frightened, but I think that there's light at the end of the tunnel for them, and they're going to come to a place where suddenly their lines are the stars. And they've never had that at IBM.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a positive thing for them. The other thing, getting back to something that you guys just talked about with Oracle not wanting Sun's low-end systems, the thing is that because it's a low-end system doesn't mean it's not a part of a high-end sale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's particularly true in HPC.
You're absolutely right.
And these very sophisticated solutions often use those commodity systems in the thousands.
Yep. Well, we beat this horse to death. We should do a show a year from now and see how this all turns out.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great fun.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe even 6 months. We'll see. But I would. I wonder how long it's going to take this to go through, if there's going to be any regulatory hurdles. I don't think there's any antitrust here.
Well, and the other thing that's going to happen is what happens at supercomputing is to the IBM booth or the Lenovo booth.
Well, I haven't even thought ahead to that. But
well, ISC.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it gives us another player in the server business, and I kind of like that. But we'll see what happens.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.